We're winning. All righty then. Church, we have a great group of men and women who want to serve in our children's ministry. You can be a part of that if you'd like to. Judy Spivey is our children's team leader. She sits up here in the front. That's her husband playing in the band. If you want to be a part of the children's ministry and you would like to get with Judy and be a teacher back there, it's a turnkey deal. A lot of times people will say, I don't want to be a teacher because them brilliant kids would ask me something I can't get around on. And that just ain't true. You're just a chicken. The lesson in that classroom, you can get around on. So if you feel like you got anything in you about being in the children's ministry, get with the children's ministry team leader and let's help these children meet Jesus right where they are. So church, this morning, let's us all pray. We've got to pray for them teachers because we're going to wind these kids up on Mountain Dew and donuts and then send them back there. Pray with me. All us cowboys and cowgirls, we'll pull our hats off and we'll bow our heads, close our eyes, and so we can focus on Jesus for just a little bit. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being here, for always being with us, that we can feel your presence, that we know you not just exist, but that you love us. And that you hold us and that you take care of us and that you will reveal yourself to us. So, Lord, this morning, as these young men and women go back to those classrooms, would you just let your spirit overwhelm those rooms? Be present. Help the teachers share your truth and help these children understand how it affects them. Lord, we just ask you for your blessing on the very authority of your son, Jesus. Amen. 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 All right, now you got to trot to the back. And you got to go at a trot. If you walk, you'll get hot-shotted. I see a lot of you walking. And if I had a hot shot, I would do it. I would do it. Don't forget to go by the donut aisle. I would. I may still. So here's what I've been dealing with this morning. I just got to say this out loud because I got the microphone. But, you know, we look around in here and we see all of us. Look around and you see all of us and how many. And here's the thing. I don't know what got you here. I don't know why you're here. I don't know what's going on in you that you said to yourself, self, I got to be in church this morning. And we know the truth of our relationships with our husbands or our brides or our children or our mothers or our fathers or our friends. So we're relational people, and so we're here because there's something going on in all of us. Some tragic stuff, some scary stuff, and it's personal. And just know that this church will pray for you and pray with you. And we always pray, God, stop it, cure it, solve it. Because that's what we want as people. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I pray that you understand God is using whatever is going on in your life to make you a better person. He's making you more like his son, Jesus. The purpose of us living in this life is to be like Jesus. And so whatever that's going on, whatever relational things that you have, you came to the right place because there was Jesus and he's waiting on you just to share that truth with him. So that's a whole different preaching thing. It'll be another Sunday. But this Sunday, I want to start on something different. But I got to tell you, we look around and we don't know everybody's backstory. We just don't know. Just like that guy that went flying by you on the road and like that. But we don't know his backstory. We just assume we do. We just assume he is that wretched son of a biscuit eater that wants to wreck and don't care about nobody. But the truth is, what if he is having a medical emergency at his dang home and he needs to get there? You'd be doing the same thing. And people would be thinking the same thing. What I'm saying is we don't know everybody's backstory. We look around here and we can just be there for each other. We can just be there, regardless of your story, because there was Jesus. I got to get off that pony. Let me tell you a story about another pony. Dang, how'd that work out just like that? Long time ago when I was a button, my daddy was a manager. He managed a lot of ranches. He managed ranches for a man that had jillions of money. And the man would buy an outfit, lock, stock, and barrel, and then he'd move daddy on there. Daddy'd be the manager, and then a couple years later, he would sell that for profit, and we'd move on to another outfit. And so a lot of times that guy bought a place, and we moved on. We had all the horses that was left, all the dogs that was left, all the cows that was left, all the holes in the fence that was left, everything. And my daddy was raising four boys, so there was plenty to do. And mom and daddy felt like that was a good life. And so, long story short, it'll get longer in a minute. Daddy's driving out there to the ranch one day because we're living over on another place. And the ranch is about, I don't know, hour and a half away. And Dad's driving over there every day through eastern Colorado, out through the plains. And so he's driving to the ranch, and he gets very near the ranch out there in the open, and he sees a horse laying in the ditch right at daylight. And there's the old bay mare just laying in the ditch, and so he stops, and she's alive, and she's hurt pretty bad. She's tore up. Likely she fell out of the trailer. This is back in the early 70s. And so he goes on to the ranch, and he gets some of the cowboys there, and he gets a trailer, and they come back, and they get this mare up out of the ditch, and they get her into the trailer, and they get her to the ranch, and everybody's wondering what to do. She's a racehorse. She got a tattoo in her lip, and they're wondering how to handle this deal, and so they put it out there that they found a horse on the road, and if you know that horse, you can come and get it, and mare gets healthy and better. She's just scraped up. She's really busted up pretty good, but nothing broke in half. Time goes by, month or 2 months, she's up, and she's standing around, she's eating good. And after 2 months, the state of Colorado said, well, you could have that horse if you want her. Nobody's claiming her. So Dad brings her to our house. And at our house, now I got a horse. I didn't know. I mean, I knew about her over there, and nobody had ever rode her or done nothing with her, but I got a horse. We didn't have a horse at the house. We'd always have to go to the ranch. Dad always had cows and stuff around there to feed and take care of, but we didn't have a horse at the ranch, at the house. So now I got this big bay mare at the house, and she's wild-eyed too. And she lays down and has a baby, just by the by, stillborn. So now Daddy says, well, I guess we ought to try to ride her. I volunteered. Because this is exciting stuff. And it turns out this mare's kind of broke. Not broke like a cow horse, but kind of broke like a racehorse. And so Daddy, he's talking about, yeah, be careful, be careful. And so I realize, and I'm just a button, and I can ride all right. And so it turns out that she doesn't really stop and turn around like a horse ought to do. But I'm going to tell you something about her. She loved being with us. And I got two littler brothers and one older brother. And my older brother, he ain't much interested in her because she's kind of spooky that way. My littler brothers, my mama won't let them touch her. And so as time goes by over the next few months and summer comes in this little town we were living in, there's this great big creek and a railroad tracks. And it's several miles from the house. You kind of got to go through the corner of town to get over there. And we used to go play over there all the time. But anyway, it was a great runway. Long and could just run on that creek bed. And so I had the idea that this is how this mare wants to run. I'll run with her. And you can't just run in a pasture, you know, because the fences are all over the place. So one day I get up and I get old Lucky, we called her Lucky, and I get her saddled up, and I told Mama I was going to head out to the creek and go play. And back in the day, you could do stuff like that. And so off I go. And this is miles. This is not just, you know, from here to Kaufman. This is from here nearly to Dang Terrell. And I get down there, and there's a railroad trestle bridge, you know, and we play. We ride around, and I'm just loving this mare. And I've been riding her several times, trying to ride her every day. I ride her bareback. I ride her with a saddle, you know, and I don't get her nowhere where she can really get away from me. My mama's nervous. My daddy, he's laughing. And so I ride her all the way. And we get down there in that creek bottom, and I ain't let her run. And so we get down there, and I know I can run through this creek. So we play around. And I finally decide I want to air this mare out. Like, That's what you do with a racehorse, ain't it? And so I do. I turn her around and I set sail. And this mare runs. She can run a hole in the wind, boys. She's flying. And as she's flying, I'm freaked out a little bit right at first because you can hear she's running and she's just pounding on that steel. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, because I know I can't stop her. And we're flying down this creek bed and she is going. And in a minute, I feel like, you know what I'm talking about, right? And I'm feeling like, dang. And now I'm feeling the wind and I'm feeling the air and I'm feeling my life. And I'm just this little old kid on top of this horse, this powerful, massive horse. And what I want to say is eventually she ran out of that creek. And she was a little tired and she made a little old turn and hit the little old road. And then all the way down that road to another little old road. And I realized we was going home. But I was cool with it because I felt like, I mean, I'm breathing, you know, I have a car go by and I wave at them. And I'm just living my best life ever. And I'm trusting this mare. I ain't scared of her. I'm trusting her. I'm flying with her. She's running and she loves me and she's looking out for me and I love her. And I'm looking out for her, like just by being there. And we are running. And this is a time-consuming deal. This isn't just a few minutes from here to there. This is a long run. And she settles into this run. And I'm just loving this, right? I feel like I'm free. I have joined with her spirit. And we are one. And I ain't scared and she ain't mad. And we're doing this thing. She's going home. I'm going with her. And we come flying through down that little old road we lived kind of on a little dead-end place. And we're running in there. And I'm sure glad I left the gate open on that little place because I wasn't going to be able to stop her. And we go flying into there, you know, and she goes around the barn. And she turns around the barn, but she's tired now. And she's hot and sweaty and tired, but she's not out of control. She's just tired. And so I just pull up on her a little bit, and she stops a little bit, and she finally stops. And we just stop, and I just sat there on her back for a little while. She's standing still there at the barn. My mama's squealing. She's freaked out. Calling my daddy on the landline because we didn't have no cell phones. And I'm just sitting there on this horse thinking, I would do that again. I would do that again. I had joined with this mare and we were one for a long time. I was free. I was brave. I was courageous. She was, and we were. What I want to say this morning is that is exactly what the Holy Spirit of God wants us to do. Settle in. To settle in with His Spirit and just be one. See, the purpose of our Christianity is to get there. This is what God's doing in our life. And the Bible, this book right here that you and I have, is the way we're supposed to be able to do that. We are supposed to be able to open up His Word and Him speak to us. See, we talked about how we got to know that we are a spirit. We are not our body. We're borrowing the thing. It's on borrowed time. We're going to bury it. We are not our body. Although that's the one thing we look after. We spend more time looking out for our carcass than we do anything else. And it ain't going to be 100 years old. Your spirit is eternal. We ain't our body. We only have a soul. We are a spirit. And our spirit, the thing that pulled you up to your feet when you were a little baby and taught you to walk, that thing that drove you to do something that you ain't, is your spirit. And your spirit joins with God's spirit when we're saved. And we become a new person. Not a better version of the old somebody, but a brand new person. Being one with God means giving ourselves, having accepted Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, having not just knowing that Jesus is the Son of God, and not just believing that He is the Son of God, but giving ourselves to Him, joining with God's Spirit is where we need to be headed for. And we have the ability to accomplish that. So I want you to open up your Bibles. I want us to look at Romans And the book of Romans, about two-thirds of the way through your Bible, is the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, a bunch of one-horse towns. You get to a couple other letters and to the end of it. But about two-thirds of the way through, the Old Testament ends, New Testament begins. And in Romans, on page 860 in this Bible, and if you ain't got this Bible, raise your hand. We got a couple left. We're scrambling for Bibles, but we buy a lot of them. We give them away. So if you get one, keep it. So here's what Paul says in Romans, and this is important for you and I to get our head around. This is something me and you, us Christians, us Christ followers, have got to understand. We're not just here for Sundays. We're not just here to be Christian. God didn't save us because he was thinking, Brett, you're so cool, I just want you in heaven. He saves us because we've got something to do here. We're still alive. We're going to use our carcass to tote us around to get to do what God's called us to do. And so in Romans chapter 6 on page 861 in this Bible, here's what Paul says in 6 and 4. He said, we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just like Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. So being saved, the Spirit moving into us, gives us the ability, the authority to live new lives. So, catch this. You got a choice to make now. Now that you're saved, you got a choice to make. You got to follow something. You got to recognize something. So he goes on in the 12th verse there. He said, Don't let, you got some choices to make. Don't let sin control the way you live. And don't give in to sinful desires. Don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Don't let. Make a choice. Make a choice. It sucketh to choose sometimes. Because we live in this world where we're accustomed to some stuff. And we think it ain't that bad. I'm going to ask you, how many of us watch TV shows when there is homosexual people in relationship? And we think, stop it. I ain't watching that no more. I'm going to watch that show no more. But guess what? We missed all of the immoral relationships that are going on in that show that doesn't bother us. No, that's real, ain't it? Huh? Because we get to choose, and sometimes we just make bad choices. We've got to be better about it. Paul says, Don't let sin control the way you live. You get to choose. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, and now you got new life. Use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin's no longer your master. You no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. But grace does not allow us to sin. Grace doesn't mean, well, God, you made me this way. You know I'm going to do that. Use your body to serve God. You get to choose. Me and you get to choose. We live in a broken world with broken stuff. We're going to mess it up. But the truth is, we get to choose. Trot over on to Romans 12. This might be familiar to a lot of us. Romans 12, here's what Paul said. Give your bodies to God because of all that he's done for you. Let your body be a living and holy sacrifice. Meaning that I'm going to make a choice to not live like I want to live, because I'm stupid, because I'm sinful, because I make bad choices. I want to follow God. I want to be holy as he is holy. I want to make a choice. I am going to make my body a holy and living sacrifice. I'm going to sacrifice what I want. And this sacrifice is the kind that God will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. This is truly the way to serve God. This is truly what God wants from us, to make a good choice. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, which is exactly what we think we ain't doing while we watch all that crappeth on TV and listen to that stuff on our radio. And I'm not calling the kettle black. Listen, man, I catch myself in the same place. The reason I can say that is because when I saw two guys kiss on TV the other day, I thought, what is this world coming to? And then the show that would come on, I thought, why am I watching that? because I was mad about seeing that. But when that couple who were not married were in a sexual relationship, that's what the Bible calls promiscuity, which is exactly a sin, just like homosexuality. But there, by the grace of God, go I. So don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Let God change the way you think. Let God, what you know, what you read, what you understand, what God reveals to you in the Bible, let that change the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. See, we can be holy just like God is holy. But we got to choose it. Remember, we have free choice. We have free choice. You can choose God, or you can choose self. That's really your only two choices. We can follow what Brett wants to do, or I can follow what God has called us to do. I can serve God, or I can serve me. These seem like, oh, come on, man, get over it. Talk about something else. Okay, I will. See, the thing that in our spirit, that joined, our spirit has joined with God's spirit. So God is in us. The Holy Spirit of God is in us. We can do what God's called us to do because He is able, not because we is able. So we can do this, but here's what we do because we are sinful, wretched. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Is we reject. We refuse. We grieve. We push the Holy Spirit. Even though we still have Him in us, we fight Him. We just do. Because what we want, the customs of this world, seem more important to us. They seem better to us. They seem more beneficial to us. Oh, but remember, that carcass you live in ain't going to be 100 years old. You, sir, you, ma'am, are eternal. What is better for you? God is. But we fight and grieve the Holy Spirit. So, 1 Thessalonians. Keep on trotting to your right till you get to the T's. 1 Thessalonians. That's the first of the T's. 1 Thessalonians, and in chapter 4 and 7, Paul said, God's called us to live a holy life, not an impure life, in 4 and 7. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules isn't disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God who gave you and I His Holy Spirit. His Spirit. Very Jesus living inside of us. So we can say, come on, it's a different day. It's a different time. You know, that you didn't even know all that stuff. That's human teaching. Because God said sin is sin. Always has been, always will be. So we can reject God's teaching and go with what we think is good because we're so dang smart. Or we can follow God who has called us to live a holy life, which doesn't mean don't have fun, don't mean laugh. It means to ride that horse with all the abandon of the freaking world. Run, let the wind blow in your hair. When we turned and we got on that road, I thought, I didn't think anything of it. Cars came and went, and we were fine. There was this long time when I was just one with that mare. And that's the way God wants us to live. Exciting and fast and good and holy. There's nothing wrong with living this life. But there is something wrong with living the life the way we want to live it. The reality of this is, 4 and 11, Paul said, make it your goal to live a quiet life. Minding your own business, working with your hands, just like we said before. And then people who ain't believers are going to respect the way you live. And you won't need to depend on others. Your life can reflect your faith. Because me and you don't make nobody a Christian. We don't save nobody. We don't. But you know what we do? Do? What we do is we share the truth of this book. Because some people ain't never heard it. And some people have heard it, but it had never rung true in their brain. And you know when it will ring true? When you say it. When you say, Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you why I know that my Savior lives. Let me tell you why I believe. Why I have faith. Why I serve. That will ring true to somebody only you can reach. Only you can touch. Only you can share that with. That's your purpose here. That's what we're supposed to do. So, here's what I want to say. In Matthew 16, you know the story about when Peter was walking along. Jesus said, "Who does everybody say I am?" And they said, "Oh, you're a great guy." And then Jesus said to Peter, "Who do you say I am?" Peter said, "Well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to Peter, "Listen, you ain't so smart. You didn't know that. My Father revealed that truth to you. God, the Spirit of God, came in Peter and gave him that revelation." Just a minute later, Peter's talking about, "Yeah, let me get my sword and help you." So it didn't last long. But it was God that gave it to him. It was literally the Spirit of God. Jesus is standing in front of Peter. The Spirit of God reveals the truth to him, and he shares that truth. Our purpose. That's what we're supposed to do. And in Luke 8, when Jesus is walking on the water, in verse, so Peter said, "Call to me, I'll come out there with you." And the storm was wiping them all out and scaring them all to death. And so they woke Jesus up and said, "Man, we're going to die in the lake." And Jesus get up and he calmed the storm. And he said, "Where's your faith? Where's your confidence? Where's your faith? Where's your belief? I'm right here. I'm with you. I have all the authority of heaven. And you still don't trust me. You feel like maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I don't know something. Maybe I'm not looking out for you like you think I should." Jesus said, "Why do you have such little faith? Where'd that come from?" And he tells you and I the same thing all the time. And then you know what we say? I'm good. They were in awe. And they turned to Jesus. They followed. Who is this that can do that? But you and I, we struggle with that. When Jesus raised the Jairus' daughter from the dead, he starts heading over there. That's also in Luke, just a little further on. And when he raised her from the dead, you know what he said? Her spirit came back to her. The spirit of that little girl, the life of that little girl came back to her. And you know, I want you to catch this, that it was literally God in Jesus is being the Holy Spirit while he's with these men and women. He's revealing that truth. He's sharing that truth. He is that truth to them. And they can see him like we see each other. But Jesus goes on to finish his ministry and go to the cross and do everything he did. And he says to the disciples, and he said to us, he said, "Listen, I got to go so that when I go, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God will come. And then he'll take up all the space. He's everywhere all the time. He's in every single believer." So Jesus walked around, and he is the Holy Spirit. He is very God walking around in front of people, can do anything with anybody anytime he wants. But he said, "I got to go so that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit can come. And then he will reveal all righteousness, all truth, all revelation to us." Because Jesus is no longer standing in front of us. We can't ask him anything. But the Holy Spirit can. That's just a reality that you and I have to get a hold of. When Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman in John 4. At the woman at the well. And he says, "Listen, you Samaritans think you know stuff. But you don't really know God. Us Jews know God." But he said, "There's coming a time. Indeed, it's here now," because he's standing in front of her. "Indeed, it's here now when all true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth." He goes on to say, because God is spirit. We got to get a hold of the reality of who we are, what we're doing, why we're here, what's going on in our life. There's something that got you here this morning? Something drew. I knew there was a better word. Something drew you to church this morning. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, talking about, I got something for you. And then we'll come together, we'll open this book, we'll read this truth, we'll understand it in a fresh way. We'll take a hold of some truth that might make a difference as we get out there. Because I can't just eat once a week and survive. I wouldn't take care of my body that way. But I'll take care of my spirit that way, won't we? Man, I'm kicking me. But it's true. It's true. We spend so much time. I mean, we don't go 5 minutes without a snack. If we're going fast, that means we eat in a hurry. But what about your spirit? What about your spirit? I take care of that on Sunday morning for an hour. The reality is, when the boys were sleeping and Jesus woke them up in the Garden of Gethsemane a couple of times, finally he seen them laying there asleep and he said, the Spirit's willing. The Spirit of God in you is more powerful than you can imagine. It's willing. God's willing, but your body's weak. Your body's weak. You're just going to cave into it. We have choices to make. What are we going to do? How are we going to serve? Where are we going to go? How will all this work? We love the reality that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We want to hold on to that truth. But we only want that truth to show up when we're in a tight spot. The rest of the time, we got this. Let me remind you of a great story I heard about the guy that was walking too close to the edge of the cliff. And he slipped over the edge. And as he's falling, he reaches out and he snags the one stupid little tree poking out and he's holding on to it. A few thousand feet from his death, he's looking up and he said, Lord, whoo, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Gosh, I'm in a terrible spot. I don't know if I'm going to survive this or not. And then God calls to him from the heavens and says, let go. I got you. And the guy said, is there any other way? Because it don't make sense to me. Is there any other way? Because I would prefer that you reach down here and lift me up, take me back to the top. God said, let go. I got you. You and I live in that place. We're holding on to that tree. We got a choice to make. We've got a choice to make. Do we do what we want to do? Are we going to wait for God to do it the way we want God to do it? Or are we going to let go and trust God with it? The reality is that we will fight our spirit, but we will feed, groom, bathe, clothe our body. We will spend all of our waking hours looking after this carcass. And we starve our spirit. And maybe it's time for Christianity, for Christ's followers today, to take hold of the truth that God's got us. And we need to let go and let God. Philippians 4, Paul says, if you do that, you will have the peace that surpasses all understanding. If you believe that, let go. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank that you have done so much already in so many of us. I thank you that as I prepared myself for this word, that I had so much going on in my head, and I saw so much truth in your word, and I wrote it down, and I convinced myself that I would come up here this morning and I would say all of these beautiful things. open your book and show all these passages where you promise, where you do, and that we, your church, would just love this and grasp this and take a hold of this. And I realized when I got up here, Lord, that while that study was great and deep, that study was for me. I just share this with our church, that we, your people, might understand the reality of our calling, of who we are in you, of where we're going, and why you're even started this whole process of life. Lord, I trust you. My spirit longs for you. My spirit longs to run and ride and just go and be free and enjoy and love. Give me the strength to be that man. Give us the strength to be that church. We love you, Lord. We praise you for all that you're doing. And we ask for your blessing on the very authority of your Son, Jesus. We praise you. And say amen.
I'll fly.